It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Okay, before we get into today's episode, we need to talk about our sponsor, Alessa.
Which I was very excited about because I actually already own one of their toys.
Meanwhile, I have been using the same dildo from Susie's since 2015.
Riley.
2015.
And she still works.
That thing has been through multiple presidential administrations.
Exactly. But I think after 11 years, it might finally be time for me to branch out.
Please, I am begging you.
If you haven't heard of Balesa, let me put you on. They're the premier destination for pleasure, the number one top-rated brand in sexual wellness. Balesa toys are made from medical-grade, body-safe silicone and can also come in these tiny, colorful charging cases that are discreet, travel-friendly, and way better than keeping them in a loose drawer for someone to find. And as someone who has actually owned one of their toys for like 3 years...
3 years? Oh, so yours is basically brand new.
Compared to your historical artifact, Riley, yes.
And yet, she's never let me down.
Anyway, before Riley starts planning a retirement party for her dildo, if you've been wanting to upgrade your own collection, try something new, or maybe just stop using the same toy for 11 years, check out Balesa.
Seriously, treat yourself.
I apparently will be.
So we and Balesa are sending out free toys or gift cards for toys to everyone who signs up. You heard that right. Every single one of you wins something. Just click the link in the episode description or head to bbvibes.com/smutup. That's bbvibes.com/smutup.
You've definitely seen Balesa's viral toys all over your For You page, like the rose. It blew up for a reason. This little flower-shaped suction toy is iconic. Or their famous Whisper collection, you know, the first ever fully silent vibrators. If you live with roommates, parents, or even your partner sleeping right next to you, these toys are silent without compromising power. Shipping is next level discreet with an unmatched warranty program, 1 year no hassle replacements, and a 10-year quality guarantee. If your dog destroys your toy, Balesa will send you a new one in exchange for a photo of your dog.
Thank you to Balesa for sponsoring Smut Up and Listen.
And bringing my sex toy collection into the current decade.
Now, let's get into the episode. Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy! And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to hear Riley and I do blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Yeah, do it.
Do it. $3 a month.
Feed our family. You can cut that out.
Nope.
Today's episode trigger warnings are stalking, Stockholm syndrome, overdose, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and it comes from Tootie Loves Tristan. And it says, that demon lady story is a horror novel. I'm overstimulated and not in a good way. And that was on our Smut 92 episode. So if you're not listening to our Smut, get on it.
Yeah, go check it out. Also, thank you, Tootie, leaving like a comment a day.
Tootie.
Yeah, thank you.
And today we are telling Riley all about The Pucking Wrong Number by C.R. Jane. And stay tuned to the end of the episode if you want to hear our ratings on it. When our female main character, Monroe, was 10 years old, her mother was a drug addict with a bad taste in men. This resulted in her mother dying right in front of her with a bloodied face, and the last words she'd ever told her daughter were, "Don't let a man take your heart." That's her backstory. Very traumatic.
Yeah.
Now Monroe is almost 18 and she's finally getting out of the foster system. Her current foster family is shitty. They seemed fine at first, but then they basically treated her like Cinderella. And as she got closer to legal age, the father, Todd, started getting creepy toward her. Like he'd be like, "Hey, almost legal, sexy girl."
Gross.
Yeah, it's nasty.
On this particular day, Todd comes home early from work, catching Monroe off guard and physically cages her against the counter, making a remark about how he loves virgins. Monroe is panicking and drops a carton of eggs all over the floor. Then Marie, his wife, walks in on all of this, and she doesn't react, and Todd just walks up, kisses his wife, and walks out of the kitchen. Now Monroe tells herself she has to get out of this house ASAP. That night, around 3 a.m., Todd walks into her room with the intention of doing God knows what to her, and she bursts out of the room. And then Marie comes out to the hallway, angrily asking Monroe what the fuck she's doing. So Marie is just annoyed that she got woken up in the middle of the night. Not that Monroe is, like, frantically coming out of her bedroom. Todd pretends that he's just coming back from getting some water, playing stupid. So Marie takes his side and she yells at Monroe for waking everyone up. And Todd gives Monroe a smug little smirk. Now she's officially decided that she can't wait for high school graduation. She needs to leave this house, like, tomorrow. She goes to school, does a shift at her part-time job to get any extra money she can, gets home and tries to keep things as normal as possible, planning to leave that night when everyone has gone to bed. Her plan is successful and she winds up with a bus ticket to Dallas. But as soon as she arrives, she gets robbed and has to sleep on a park bench.
Damn.
And she's going through it. She wakes up with a tattered-looking old man sitting on the bench watching her. And this man speaks in a fake British accent and tells her not to worry. His name's Old Bill. And he's just making sure she's safe and tells her she can go back to sleep.
Old Bill is the nicest person I've never met.
I am obsessed with Old Bill. Hello, I'm Old Bill. It's Tuesday, isn't it?
Tuesday.
He pulls a clean blanket out of his bag and he gives it to her. And he's like, obviously, a homeless man. And he gives her his clean blanket.
That's so sweet.
She almost sobs from how kind he is, and she decides to trust him. She winds up sleeping for the rest of the night with Bill watching over her. In the morning, he shows her to a woman's shelter called Haven. And then we meet our male main character, Lincoln. He is the starting forward on his hockey team, and it's his last year of his rookie season. And he's being signed to the major leagues. Very heated rivalry, but less gay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, there's no male-on-male kissing.
No.
Bummer.
Boo.
A year passes, and Monroe is 19. She's been working as a medical receptionist and has a second job at a catering company since she's gotten to the shelter. She wound up with her GED, and she's now doing community college courses. It's a lot, and she's exhausted during her shift at the doctor's office. One of the doctors at the office, Kevin, disregards how tired she looks and tries to get her to go out with him tonight, and she shuts him down. He doesn't take the rejection well and makes some comment about how she has a stick up her ass, and now Monroe's pissed. She tells him he's not worth the energy, and he just walks away in a huff. He's like her superior, too, and he's acting like this toward her.
Ew, gross.
She goes home to her studio apartment after her shift, where she's met by yet another skeezy man, Jared, her fat, nasty landlord, and she fully describes him as Jabba the Hutt.
Ew, gross. In human form, nasty.
Yeah. He pretends he was just checking on her apartment and then says she seems lonely living here all by herself and maybe she should go out with him. She tries to shut the door on him and says no, she's not interested, and then he offers to help her out with her rent if she does something for him.
See, that might get me. I might be like, okay.
Well, depends on how much the rent is.
Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah.
How much are you going to take off rent?
Hand job? I'll think about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's easy. Easy work.
He grabs onto her arm and she screams for him to let her go, but he just thinks this is funny. He refuses to believe she's not interested in him and says he could have her out on the streets if he wanted to. All she needs to do is spend a little time with him. So she punches him as hard as she can right in his nose.
Yeah.
He threatens to evict her and storms away. She slams and locks the door, and now she has a text from an unknown number asking for a second chance. And she doesn't even know which shitty man this could even be because there's just so many options.
Yeah.
She replies, not in a million years. She knows his penis is barely visible in the light. And the texter responds that her attempt at getting a dick pic almost worked. So she replied that she doesn't want to see a picture of some saggy old balls. Then the mystery man replies that being insulted turns him on. How did she know? If he'd only known she was actually funny, maybe he would have shown up last night. She's confused, but texts back that she knew how uninteresting he is, so she didn't even bother showing up either, despite having no idea what this person is even talking about. She decides to leave this weird situation alone and goes to work on some schoolwork, but then she gets another text from the unknown number saying they should be uninteresting together. She finally informs him that he has the wrong number, and he's like, "Kara?" So she's like, "I'm not Kara," and sends a picture of herself flipping off the camera, and she gets a reply asking for her name. She knows it's a bad idea, but she still tells him. He tells her she's hot as fuck, and she's like, "I'm way out of your league, so keep dreaming. Good on him for shooting his shot, though." And he responds, "Oh, so you do know who I am?" And she's like, "No, I have no fucking idea who this is." He doesn't reply, so she goes back to what she's doing. Meanwhile, we get Lincoln's side of this interaction. And remember, Lincoln's the hockey player.
That's right.
He was supposed to go out with some shitty girl named Kara last night, per his demanding father's instructions.
Some shitty girl?
Some shitty girl.
Some shitty girl.
He, like, hates this Kara person.
Yeah.
Him and Kara hate each other, so he wound up going out with the boys instead. So his dad texted him, demanding that Lincoln text Kara to apologize and set up a new date with her. When he did, he texted the wrong number and got Monroe instead. And when she'd sent him a picture of herself, he was immediately smitten, obsessed even.
The girl's face was like a lightning strike of beauty and rebellion, with full lips that begged to be kissed or wrapped around my cock. Of course. Such a guy.
Man.
Man.
When she'd sent the text about being out of his league and shooting his shot, he'd taken it as a hockey reference and assumed it was either Kara or one of her friends fucking with him. So he saves the photo of Monroe and goes to find the nearest computer so he can figure out who the fuck the girl in the picture is. He has to have her.
Oh, it's Monroe.
She told you that.
Yeah.
The next morning, he's tracked her down online and texts her with her full name, Monroe Bardot.
What a name.
She tells him he's being creepy, but he says he just wants to be friends. Maybe it was meant to be that he texted her on accident. She says to prove he's not some creepy old dude and asks for a picture of him since he knows all about her, apparently. Lincoln doesn't want to show her his face since he's a pretty high-profile hockey player, so he sends her a picture that's just the top of his head, and then again of one of his legs.
Okay.
She decides to go along with this and sends him a picture of her big toe. And he responds that he's not normally a foot guy, but that toe is hot as fuck.
It's a hot toe.
They have some cute little banter, and Monroe even finds herself smiling down at her phone. She makes a comment about how she's currently walking home in the rain since she's too broke to get a cab. And he offers to send her money, and she's like, you shouldn't offer money to strangers. And he says they aren't strangers, they're practically best friends. And she's like, okay, best friend, what's my favorite color? And he instantly replies back with, dark pink. And she's shocked because that is her favorite color.
How's he know?
He tells her his favorite color is green, like her eyes. They wind up having some more banter, which results in him sending a picture of his sick-ass abs, and Monroe is shocked because his body is ripped.
Ripped!
Then she learns that he's 24 years old. He tells her to be careful out there when it's clear she won't let him help her out with a cab, and she says she always is, and then he responds with, good girl, and she is positively soaked.
Yeah, good girl.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Little does Monroe know, Lincoln's next step is hiring a PI to track her down and get all of the information on her that he can get. He knows all about her now, and her life has been sad as hell. Now that he knows that she lives in a sketchy part of town, he's determined to keep her safe. Before he can talk himself out of it, he's in his car driving to her apartment. As he's scoping out the shitty complex, plotting on how to get her out of this place and into his, he sees her. Monroe walks up to a homeless man camping out next to her building, and Lincoln watches in amazement as she bends down to talk to the homeless man. Seeing her in person has him more bricked up than he's ever been in his whole life.
All I could think about was devouring her, keeping her forever, dirtying her with my cum, spreading it across her skin every day. Said I just want to shoot my load on her.
Make her a sticky mess. Then he looks at the time and realizes he's going to be late for practice, so he reluctantly walks away. The entire drive to the stadium is filled with thoughts of his new obsession. The next day, Monroe is at some restaurant to work on a group project for school with some classmates, but the only one who showed up is someone named Connor. She's getting a weird feeling with the way he's looking at her, and after 45 minutes, she's like, "Hey, so where are the other girls at?" And he's like, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. They're not coming." "But it's fine because I wanted to get to know you anyway." She gets a text from Lincoln and she responds about how she got tricked into going on a date. Lincoln seems super jealous and is like, "You should probably leave. Fuck that guy." Connor is going on and on about himself and his boring job and his boring life. And then the waitress comes up and asks them to leave because it seems the entire restaurant has been reserved last minute. Monroe is super confused but relieved, and Connor asks if she wants to take this party to his house, and she turns him down. He gives her an unwanted kiss on the cheek, so she starts power walking home, and her anxiety is spiked when she feels like someone is following her. She panics and calls Lincoln, and he reassures her as he guides her through making sure she's safe. He distracts her and they chit-chat for the rest of her walk home. But the banter has her smiling and giggling by the time she walks into her apartment building. She tells him she made it safe and he says, "Good girl." And she is soaked at hearing his actual voice say this. She tells him she's gonna head to bed now and he says, "Good night, dream girl." Little does she know, Lincoln is essentially stalking her and had checked her location, rented out the restaurant, and then tracked Connor down and beat the shit out of him in an alley while wearing a ski mask.
Yeah, what the fuck?
The next day at practice, Lincoln is fumbling because he can't get Monroe out of his head. That evening, he's at a photo shoot, oiled up in his undies, so he decides to send a picture of his outfit to Monroe, who simply responds, "Wow." Then the photographer comes out, and Lincoln knows she's hot, but he's not interested despite getting fuck me eyes the entire time. He tries to see if he can get a boner thinking about banging this woman out, but nope, his boners are only for Monroe now.
Yeah, that's his girl.
Then the girl starts getting touchy-feely, trying to run her hands down his body, and he grabs her by the throat, telling her not to fucking touch him. The girl is ordered to leave, and the shoot continues, and he's thinking about Monroe and what it might be like to fuck her.
I was deep in thought, picturing Monroe coming, when all of a sudden a voice cleared. Lincoln, is there anything you can do about that? This publication piece isn't X-rated. I glanced over at Carmen and saw she was keeping her eyes averted. It took me a second to realize I was fully aroused, the tip of my dick peeking out from the briefs I was wearing. I quickly turned around with a curse, trying to think of puppies getting hit by cars or other dreadful things. After a few minutes, I managed to get it down. That had certainly never happened before. Okay, puppies getting hit by cars, that's a little crazy, but... yeah, that's like why I'm so glad not to be a man, because like, imagine just having, like, getting a boner in public and there's nothing you can really do about it.
Yeah, and like that's a theme in this book, is his boners are so intense, they often just pop out of his waistband.
They just like shoot up.
Yeah, it's just like his dickhead is visible for the world to see.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm, that is a powerful dick.
Yeah, something to be proud of.
Yeah. Lincoln's like, "Oops, sorry, I've got a new girl, and I guess I was just thinking about her. Sorry, guys." And the woman is totally cool, handing him one of the photographs to gift to his new lady.
Give her this picture of you and your boner to her.
Yeah. I mean, what a nice gesture.
That would be a hot little picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he gets home, he jerks it, thinking of his new obsession, and comes harder than he ever has in his whole life. The next morning, old Bill is walking with Monroe to her apartment, since he's appointed himself as her protector since they'd met. So they're still in touch and he's still watching over her.
Cute. I love it.
She gives him some of her leftover pizza and invites him inside when it starts to rain, but he says no, like he always does, and they say their goodbyes. When she reaches her door, she sees her landlord leaning against the wall across the hall. She just gives him a nod and beelines it inside, closing the door quickly behind her, trying not to show how freaked out she is. As soon as she starts to spiral, she gets a call from Lincoln. She's just as into him as he is. And I just put in parentheses, like maybe not as much, but she's very into him.
Yeah.
They chit-chat a little bit and he reassures her once again that she is his dream girl. The next day, Lincoln is having a deeply unpleasant meeting with his father. His dad basically says that he fucked up by not going on that date with Kara. It's the least he can do after what happened with his brother. His brother would have made him proud. Lincoln's pissed off as he walks out of his father's office, but a text from Monroe instantly turns his mood around. That night, Monroe gets called in to work a last-minute shift at her catering job despite how exhausted she is. She works serving hors d'oeuvres to fancy people in a ballroom, trying to stay awake, when a haughty hunk takes some of her crab cakes, making conversation with her. The man introduces himself as Ari, which is the name of one of Lincoln's teammates. And it's like basically Lincoln's best friend is named Ari. The man looks at her like he knows something that she doesn't, tells her to have a good night, and he leaves. Then she learns that this party is for a bunch of celebrities and sports stars. It's like some charity event. She's looking around when she sees the most beautiful man she's ever seen across the room. Something about him is magnetic. She can't take her eyes off of him. She's full on ogling him when some drunk asshole smacks her right on the ass, making her spill her tray. Her boss sees this, calls her an idiot, and tells her to clean it up.
Okay, that's unnecessary.
Then the sexy hot man walks up to her and helps her pick up the spilled food. As he speaks, she realizes it sounds familiar, and her boss is like, "Mr. Daniels, you don't need to do that. My employee can clean this up. It was her mistake." Then she really looks at this man and realizes this is Lincoln, and he's an NHL star, and she knows she's just some poor scrub.
Oh, girl, if only you knew.
She reaches out to touch his arm, and her boss screams at her not to speak to him, but Lincoln just pulls Monroe away. He winds up leading her to a back hallway to get away from the crowd. He cages her against the wall and calls her dream girl again. He tells her he didn't know she'd be here tonight, but he's so glad she is. Then he leans in and kisses her. It's electric. They're making out now and grinding against the wall. She can feel his hard dick against her stomach, and the kiss gets more intense, and they're dry humping.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
"Ride my thigh, baby," he commanded, his hand on the small of my back, holding me in place. Unable to resist, I rubbed against his hard thigh, shivers of pleasure spiraling through my body, my mind clouded with lust and longing. "Make yourself come, Monroe," he growled into my ear, his voice rough and demanding. Oh, he said her like whole name. I love it.
And like right on his thigh? That's crazy.
I know. Hot.
Like a dog.
Woof.
She wants to be more than just one of many girls he's been with, but then he kisses her even harder and she starts to grind, and before she knows it, she's coming. And then he says, "That's my good girl." Then the paparazzi bursts into the hallway asking who the girl is. Monroe books it to the kitchen, and Lincoln stays back to speak with the photographers. Now she's at home, spiraling about how a guy like him could never really be interested in a girl like her. But it's not long before Lincoln is pounding on her door saying they need to talk. He said he wanted to check on her. He paid off all the photographers so the pictures of them never get released. Not that he'd mind if they did. She realizes he knows where she lives, and she's like, "Whoa, boundaries, you need to leave." He tells a teeny tiny lie and says that his team ran a background check on her to make sure she was legit when they first started talking. And she's like, "So you know about my mom and my foster homes then?" And he's like, "Yes, I don't care about any of that. You're my girl. I'll give you tonight to calm down. But after that, you'll realize you and me are the real deal." Which is very sweet, but it's not the full story.
Yeah.
The next morning, Monroe feels like last night was a dream. Then she gets a call from her catering boss, who's being all fake nice to her now that she knows Monroe is involved with Lincoln, and she wants to give her extra shifts at more fancy events, and maybe she'll even get a little promotion.
Oh, fake bitch.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Monroe works a shift at her medical office job and then rushes to class, and she notices that Connor has a big fat black eye from when he got the shit beat out of him in the alley. Her professor stands up and announces that they have a surprise guest in class today, Lincoln Daniels. And Monroe's like, "Oh, what the fuck?" But then she sees him and she's once again struck by his beauty. And all of the other girls in class are visibly swooning. And Monroe realizes she's jealous about this.
Oh, Monroe, you're his dream girl.
Lincoln says that he's here to talk about the business side of his hockey career, but first, he has something to say. There's a girl in this class that he's crazy about. He'll pay everyone's tuition for the full year if Monroe will go on a date with him and go to his game on Friday night. And, like, if she said no, they're gonna jump her after class.
Yeah,
I would jump her.
Yeah. She wants to kill him because she's so embarrassed, and the whole class is like, "Do it, do it, do it." And she's like, "Okay, fine." And the whole class stands up and cheers. Friday comes, she works one of her jobs and is late getting to the game despite Lincoln sending her a car. She's given a jersey, and the woman who handed it to her bursts out laughing when she realizes that it's Ari's jersey, not Lincoln's. So a little prank is afoot.
Oh.
Then Monroe gets to her seat, and it's basically on the ice. It's not long before she spots Lincoln skating around, and she admires how graceful he is out there. He spots her, too, and has to command his dick not to get hard right here and now. He plays amazingly, gets a hat trick, and shows off for his girl.
Don't get hard. Don't do it.
Once he scores his final goal, he notices the jersey, Ari's jersey. He skates right over to his teammate, points straight at Monroe, and punches Ari right in the face. And Ari just laughs hysterically. After the crowd calms down and everyone is heading out of the arena, the girl who gave her the jersey gives Monroe some speech about how she really hopes Monroe is serious about Lincoln because she takes the welfare of the players very seriously. Then another woman steals Monroe away to bring her to Lincoln, telling her not to pay attention to Ashley. Ashley's kind of a bitch. Monroe is brought straight to the locker room, and she's frozen in shock as she witnesses Lincoln getting out of his uniform. He's ripped, sexy, and the giant butterfly tattoo across his chest is gorgeous.
A giant butterfly?
Yeah. She's like, oh my god, sexy.
All right. Yeah.
He sees her and is like, hey, dream girl, now take that fucking jersey off. And she's like, what? And he just reaches over and snatches it right off her body. And luckily, she's wearing a shirt underneath.
Oh, good. I mean, it would be, like, wildly uncomfortable to wear a jersey with a shirt underneath it, I feel like.
But it was, like, handed to her when she sat down, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Then Ari walks up and snatches the jersey from Lincoln and thrusts it back into Monroe's hands. Lincoln is like, get the fuck away from her right fucking now. But Ari just laughs and is like, why are you taking away my gift to our girl? Lincoln seems to calm down a little bit when Monroe laughs it off, but he snatches Monroe away from Ari, holds her to his chest, and she can feel that he's hard. This man is always hard.
Yeah.
He tells her not to wear another man's jersey if she wants the other man to live. The team gets into this dog pile to celebrate their win, and Lincoln tells her that he wants to take her home and get to know everything about her, but they need to make an appearance at the after party first. And I just want to know if dog piles are real. Do men do that?
Is that where you, like, everyone jumps on each other?
Yeah. It's just, like, a pile of men.
I mean, I've seen it done, like, in sports. Oh, so.
Well, okay.
I would assume they do that.
That's weird.
Men are just weird.
Men are weird. They also smack each other's ass.
It could be the men's equivalent of, like, clapping your hands and jumping up and down.
Yeah. They just jump on each other.
Okay. She's overwhelmed at how fast this is moving, and the team makes its way out of the locker room, leaving them alone.
I cleared my throat, remembering just how little clothes he had on. His length was its own presence in the room, the top of it visible when I glanced down, peeking out from the band of his briefs. Holy fuck, I think I had a mini orgasm staring down at the monster. The monster!
And once again, it's peeking out the waistband.
Yeah, oh my god.
Pull your boxers up then. Jesus Christ, this is a continuous issue for you.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. It's just always peeking out.
Yeah.
Just the tip. I feel like that would make me a little uncomfy. I'd be like, put it away.
He changes into regular clothes and he's staring at her with lust. Then he pins her against the wall and starts rubbing her over her leggings until she comes. Then he rips a hole in the crotch and starts eating her out right then and there.
He rips a hole? He can pull him down?
No, he rips a hole in her leggings.
I'd be like, I have to walk out of here in these. What the fuck?
Yeah, well, he had to get in there immediately.
He had to munch.
Cool air brushed against my folds, and then his tongue was licking deep inside me. An insatiable invasion that was soaked with darkness and desire. He worshipped me, his tongue touching everywhere, pushing in and out as his rough fingers slid all over. I was soaking his face, the gleam of my slick all over his gorgeousness.
Slick. She comes hard as he fucks her with his tongue, and he stands up giving her a kiss. And she feels like this man is a drug, and she won't be able to get enough. And this scares her. He gives her one of his jerseys, and thankfully it's long enough to cover the new hole in her leggings. So, problem solved, I guess. But they're also going to an after party.
Yeah, and your fucking poussoir is just out and about.
Yeah, but at least she doesn't have to pull her pants down to pee if she has to go to the bathroom.
She just sit and piss.
Yeah.
I'm just like picturing like black Lululemon leggings with like lips sticking. Just a small hole and lips sticking out.
Yeah, that's what she's got going on.
I'm like, girl, put that away.
He brings her out to his car and tells her to hop on in, but she admits to him how scared she is of this. He reassures her that he'll show her how good they can be until she isn't afraid anymore. They go to the after party and she heads to the bathroom to freshen up. There's a group of girls in there talking about how hot Lincoln is and what a sex god he is. They'd kill to have one more night with him. So these are girls that have previously hooked up with him in the past, talking about how he's just grade A piece of sex meat.
Ugh, shut up.
She heads back to the party and she's completely overwhelmed with the chaos of it all. She finds Lincoln surrounded by women trying to get his attention, but Lincoln is ignoring them and just looking around for her. She's filled with jealousy and wondering if a relationship with him would mean having to watch girls throw themselves at him constantly. She has a flashback of her mother selling herself to rich men when she was a child, and now she's terrified that she's headed down the same path. That's when the panic attack starts, and Lincoln approaches her and notices she's freaking out, so he brings her outside and helps her calm her breathing. Then he holds her and starts to sing Creep by Radiohead to her.
What the fuck? That would piss me off. I'd be so mad. Yeah. I'd be like, shut the fuck up right now.
She's freaking out, and he's just rocking her. I'm a creep. Yeah. I'm a weirdo.
That would be so fucking mad. I'd be like, at a time like this, are you fucking kidding me?
She calms down and she thanks him for helping her snap out of it.
Thank you for singing Creep by Radiohead to me. Thank you.
It was just what the doctor ordered.
That really helped my panic attack be at bay.
I mean, to be fair, has anyone ever sung Creep by Radiohead to you while you were having a panic attack?
No.
Then how do you know it won't work?
You're right. You're right. I feel like I would be upset, though, by that.
She asks why he chose that song, and he gets really sad, saying it was his older brother's favorite song. When their dad would beat the shit out of Lincoln, his brother would come into his room at night and sing it to him until he calmed down. Why are you laughing? It's his panic attack song.
I don't know why this song is just really getting to me. And then when you're like, when his dad is beating the shit out of him.
Then a beautiful woman walks out telling Lincoln that she was looking all over for him. Monroe can tell this woman clearly knows Lincoln is more than just a friend. And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna go. The woman's name is Carolyn, and she's an old hookup that Lincoln fully despises. So he pushes her off and goes after Monroe. He sees someone spilling beer all over her, and she's crying. So he leads her to an empty room, and she's like, I can't be in a room full of women who want you. It's too much. So he brings her home, and she's silent for the entire car ride. He walks her to her door, but she's still pissed and tells him goodnight, going inside alone and locking the door behind her.
Yeah, I understand.
But little does she know, Lincoln already made a copy of her key, and they'll be having a surprise sleepover tonight.
Lincoln.
So he is Creep by Radiohead.
He is a fucking creep.
He is a weirdo. He sneaks in a while later and watches her snoozing. His dick is so hard watching her that he has to undo his jeans just to relieve the pressure. Then he grabs it and starts to stroke it as he imagines her sucking it.
Fuck, I was coming as hard as I had in the shower. I had to bite down on my lip to hold in my groan. The metallic tang of blood coated my tongue. I lapped it up, the pain helping to center me for at least a moment. I'd probably be hard again in a minute. It had been a problem since the first time I'd seen her picture. I stared down at the mess I'd made of my fist, and then I glanced over to Monroe. A primal need to mark her overtook me, a force beyond my control. It crashed over me like a wave, a fierce and all-consuming hunger. Suddenly, I was someone else entirely, a stranger in my own skin, driven by a desperate craving to make her mine. With a slow, deliberate movement, I reached out and brushed my tongue along her bottom lip, softly spreading my cum. She didn't even stir. Okay.
Little lip mask,
if you will. I mean, I guess what she doesn't know won't hurt her, but
he's satisfied knowing that she'll wake up with the taste of his cum in her mouth. He stands there watching her for an hour and then sits down against the door, catching a few Z's before she has to wake up at 6. He fully just sleeps in her room, not at all concerned that she might wake up and see him.
That is so crazy.
He slips out before she realizes he's there and heads straight to the gym. He needs to work out all of this tension, but it doesn't help. Ari is there and makes a comment about how he's never seen Lincoln so crazy about a girl. And Lincoln says, "This girl is the one." Monroe starts her shift at her medical office job and gets a delivery of black roses from Lincoln. Dr. Kevin, the skeezy dude, makes a comment saying that he didn't know Monroe was a flower girl, but now he knows what he needs to try next.
Stay in your lane. You're my boss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then after class, she's approached by Connor, who's again trying to get a date with her. She shuts him down, but when Connor reaches out to grab her arm, Lincoln is there pretending like they have a planned date to get to. She's thankful, even though she doesn't know why he's here right now. He grabs her possessively, and Connor's fists are balled in anger, and he storms off. Lincoln asks if Connor bothers her often, and she's like, "Not really. He just won't leave me alone, and it makes me uncomfortable." So she's like, "He doesn't bother me often. He just, like, won't leave me alone," which is the same thing.
She's like, "I really hate it, but it's no big deal. Don't you worry."
He says they should have some dinner, and then after, she can work on her homework while he reviews some gameplay tapes for the game tomorrow. They share a passionate kiss and leave when the girls start hooting and hollering in the hallway. He brings her to his place, and she sees multiple luxury cars. She comments on it, and he says he'll let her drive one if she wants, but she says he shouldn't let strangers drive his expensive vehicles.
He leaned forward, an intense gleam in his gaze. "I've tasted your cum, baby," he said, his voice low and rough. "I've covered my face in your sweet pussy. We're way past the stranger phase." Yeah, you guys aren't strangers at this point. They haven't fucked, though, yet?
No. She's the virgin.
That's right.
He gives her the grand tour of his big-ass penthouse and makes a comment about her moving in. She has another flashback of her mother going after rich men, and it eventually resulted in her demise. But she snaps out of her dark thoughts and they order dinner. He says they should order from a bunch of places and she can pick whatever she wants. She's super into the idea and says, "Okay, cool. I don't have any food allergies." And he's like, "Yeah, I know.
I know everything about you, baby girl."
A while later, they're in his kitchen surrounded by takeout, and as Monroe takes her first bite, she moans and is like, "Ugh, I love you." And then she's like, "No, wait, the food. I love the food."
Right.
Lincoln tells her he knew she'd say it first. She sits on his lap and eats until she's stuffed. After this, they're on his couch and she's trying to do her homework while he watches old games. She's having a hard time concentrating with him next to her looking all hot and stuff. He asks her what her major is and she says she doesn't know yet. She hasn't been able to take as many classes as she wants to with how much she has to work, so she isn't at the point of choosing a major yet. And he's like, "Well, now you're here and you have a chance to do whatever you want, so what would it be?" This simultaneously touches her and freaks her out. Then his phone rings and the contact photo for whoever it is just a pair of titties.
Oh, what the fuck?
Now Monroe is once again apprehensive about this and Lincoln is like, "I have no idea who that is. People get my number all the time." He blocks the unknown caller and she's like, "So you have no idea who that is?" And he's like, "Well, the contact picture was just boobs and I can't say I recall that particular pair."
Punch him.
He's trying to make it a joke, but she's not having it and says she's going to head out. He says he didn't know she was actually upset and she apologizes, saying she knows she doesn't have a claim on him or anything. And he's like, "Okay, let's fix this." And he picks her up and carries her to his room, throwing her down on the bed. Now they're making out and he stands up, pulling down his pants.
His thick length was a dusky, silky expanse, textured by rigid veins. The gleaming head of his arousal was slick with pre-cum. It was a strange thought because I'd never thought of dicks as attractive, but his was. Beautiful. What every woman was put on this earth to desperately crave. Well, no. Not every woman was put on this earth to crave a dick, but I see what you're saying. A nice, handsome dick.
Yeah. She is soaked, and he tells her that he doesn't even care that anyone else exists now that he's met her. Then he runs his fingers through his pre-cum and glides it over her lips, and she sucks on it, swirling her tongue over his fingertip. And that's when she gets an even better look at his glorious penis.
And it was then that I noticed the dark black cursive script etched on the pink skin, the outline of the letters in angry red color that bordered a new tattoo. "What?" I murmured, leaning forward so I could read it. "Monroe. His cock was tattooed with my name." That is literally fucking insane.
He's like, girl, I'm yours. Look.
Look, my dick has your name on it and you haven't even had sex yet.
Yeah.
We're not even dating.
Yeah. Crazy.
This is a lot, but seeing this obvious brand of ownership on him really gets to her since she's felt unwanted her entire life. So she reaches out and touches his 9-inch dick and takes it into her mouth.
9 inches?
That's what it is described as, is 9 inches.
Jesus.
She wants to repay him for his gift to her. The tattoo is the best present she's ever gotten. As she starts to give him the sloppy toppy, he praises her, telling her how good it is, and says he wants to fuck her mouth, so relax her throat. Somehow, she opens her throat up, takes as much of him as he gives her, and is still able to moan about how she needs more. And this is her first blowjob, I believe.
Nah, you're a liar, girl. No way.
So she's getting throated, and she's talking.
Clearly, his dick isn't that big.
It's really skinny, probably. Yeah. She reaches down to touch herself, but he tells her no, not yet, pulling her hand away from between her legs. He keeps thrusting into her mouth and he's telling her how good she looks like this and how much she loves having her mouth fucked and calls her a good fucking girl. Then he's coming down her throat. He pulls out and leans down to kiss her, tasting himself on her. She tells him how good he tastes and somehow he's getting hard all over again. He pulls down her leggings and starts touching her and says now it's her turn to come. He finger blasts her and kisses her until she comes. Then he has to go wash his dick since the tattoo is fresh and he doesn't want to get it infected. Monroe falls asleep in his bed and he just lays next to her watching her sleep.
The next morning, she wakes up and realizes that she's late for work. She quickly dresses and asks him to bring her home so she can change before her shift at the medical office. He tries to get her to call in sick, but she tells him that she can't. She has bills to pay, and he's totally fine with this, so he takes her home, she changes, and then he takes her straight to the doctor's office. When she gets there, Lincoln goes in with her and makes out with her in the middle of the office and tries to make it like a public display of why they were late because she was with him.
Because we were making out.
Yeah. And then when he leaves, Kevin tells her that she's on thin ice. So Kevin didn't like that.
Well, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that's your place of work.
Everyone's so mean to her, and like, that wasn't her fault.
Everyone is very mean to her, this poor girl, and she does nothing wrong.
I know.
Lincoln decides to go to practice since he can't spend the day with Monroe, and then his piece of shit dad texts him, telling him to be at the house by 5 p.m. for dinner. Ari tries to ask why he puts up with that still, but Lincoln is fuming and tells his best friend to just shut the fuck up. Ari skates away, and then at the end of practice, they get into a full-on fist fight because their testosterone is too high. I would never hit my best friends, so I don't know why men are like this.
He, like, beats the shit out of Ari, and Ari's just like,
what the fuck?
In the locker room, Lincoln apologizes for being a dick, but Ari wants to know what he's going to do when his daddy dearest won't let him be with Monroe because she's poor. And this hits home. Lincoln arrives at his parents' mansion without showering from practice, and the house manager leads him to a room with his father, his mother, and Kara. So remember, at the beginning of the story, he's supposed to be meeting Kara. They have a really awkward dinner, and during dessert, Kara tries to touch Lincoln, and he tells her that if she touches him again, he's going to stab her with his fork.
Okay, Jesus.
Kara immediately gets up and leaves. His father is super pissed and tells Lincoln to follow him into his office. Once they're there, he threatens his own son to behave and act nice to Kara so he can land the business deal with her parents. When Lincoln goes to threaten him back, his dad pulls up a photo of Monroe, and then he threatens Lincoln again, saying to listen or something worse will happen to someone he loves. Lincoln drives straight to Monroe's apartment, and he knows that she's at class, so he tells her landlord that he needs to evict her tonight and gives him a shit ton of money to make it happen. After class, Monroe gets to her apartment where she is promptly evicted and given until the morning time to leave. She's upset, which is totally understandable. She's being evicted from her apartment. And Lincoln calls her at that moment. She tells him about her situation and he lets her know that he'll be there to pick her up soon and she can stay with him as long as she needs.
Oh, of course.
The next morning, she wakes up to her alarm and then Lincoln starts kissing her body. He pulls her shirt up and bites and sucks at her nipples, and then he starts fingering her, and when she comes, he licks his fingers clean. She tells him tonight she finally wants to do more.
Oh, she wants to lose her V card?
But for now, she has to go to work.
He picks her up from work at 5 p.m. and takes her to dinner.
We were at some fancy place where there were 7 courses, and while I'd never even dreamed of eating at a place so nice, I was ready for dessert. The kind that came from Lincoln's dick. Oh, she wants some cum.
She is barely making it through dinner. She's begging him to go home so that they can finally do this. And he takes his sweet time. He wants it to build up and wait. When they finally get back to his apartment, she admits that she's never done this before. And he says he knows. So somehow he knows that she's also a virgin. They undress and she touches him before he lays her down on the bed.
His hold on my thighs was firm and unyielding as he pushed them apart to get closer. I gripped his broad shoulders to steady myself. My eyes were glued to his hand as he gripped his erect length, slick and glistening and huge. Slowly, he pushed his head in, the sensation of his thickness spreading me wide. I gasped, the stretch too much. I couldn't breathe. I was so full. I cried out as he pushed through my innocence, his lips catching my cries.
She's losing it.
As he starts to actually fuck her, he tells her that he's going to be fucking her every day from now on. And then they both come and her virginity is officially lost. Lincoln is on the ice the next day trying to get his head in the game when he spots Monroe in the crowd, but she's sitting next to his father. Now he's completely distracted, which causes him being checked by another player and laid flat out on the ice. He knows that multiple ribs are broken and he can't breathe. As he's escorted off to get looked at, he asks a trainer to grab Monroe for him. She shows up with concern, but he wants to know what his father said to her. She admits that she didn't know that was his dad, but the man just kept asking if she was dating Lincoln and then was trying to flirt with her, which, gross. The trainer wraps him up and then he kisses his girl so he can get back to the game even though his ribs are broken. The next day, Lincoln's dad texts him saying he wishes it was him instead. He knows it's all his fault and he wishes that he could have saved his brother Tyler, but instead he pulls down a bottle of vodka. Monroe has texted him multiple times with no response, which is not normal. He sends a town car for her to get her back from class so she doesn't take public transit. It drops her off at the penthouse where it's completely empty except for the housekeeper. She learns from his housekeeper that it's his brother's death anniversary and Lincoln is most likely at the cemetery. She learns what cemetery and takes off in one of his many cars to go take care of her man. She finds him asleep at his brother's grave with his bottle of vodka. She wakes him up and gives him a moment before she helps him to the car to take him home. Once they're home, she sets him up on the couch with water, tea, and a blanket where he promptly falls back asleep. But in the middle of the night, he wakes her up and they have sex. When it's done, he tells her all about his brother. Tyler was 10 years older than him and protected him from his dad's wrath. He introduced him to hockey and took him to all of his practices and games. At one particular practice on a frozen lake, Lincoln fell in and Tyler saved him but didn't make it out alive. He drowned right in front of Lincoln and now Lincoln feels responsible for his death.
That's sad.
She holds him and he tells her that he loves her. A couple days pass and he tries to give her a black American Express card to take care of her. When she refuses, he says it's not like her mom's situation. She snaps at him, which is, I think, valid, and says even with the background check, he knows nothing about her mom. So he's like, I'm not trying to pay you off. This isn't money for sex, girl. The rest of the morning, she's quiet as he drops her off to work, and it's freaking him out. When he picks her up later, he sees that Kevin was making her uncomfortable. Lincoln walks in and announces that they should take all her flowers home, interrupting the interaction. Then, on the drive back home, he plots how he can make sure she never works again in her life. Once she falls asleep, he goes to Kevin's house and waits until Kevin is done fucking his wife's best friend. Then he knocks and threatens Kevin to let Monroe go, or else he'll show a little video of Kevin fucking his partner's wife. He tells Kevin to fire her tomorrow, and as an extra incentive to go through with it, he won't leak another video.
This one was of his wife's brother sucking on Kevin's dick like it was a popsicle. I grimaced. The best friend was one thing, dude, but her brother? Ouch, that's a whole new level of messed up. Oh, he's down low.
If I found out my husband was cheating on me with my brother, I would kill myself.
Yeah.
She wakes up to Lincoln fucking her and telling her how much he loves her and that she will become equally obsessed with him as he is with her. And then she passes back out. In the morning, she gets a call from Kevin. She's officially fired, and she goes to find Lincoln. She tells him what happened and he's outraged on her behalf. She says to drop it and he feeds her breakfast while she agrees to go to his Boston game.
He's like, oh my God, I cannot believe this.
While he flies with his team, he buys her a first class ticket to Boston. And he also bought the whole row of seats so no one could sit next to her because a meet cute on a plane is too romance book for him. She lands and goes to this amazing hotel that has three suites with all king-size beds in each room, and that is where they'll be staying. Lincoln is already there and wraps her in a hug. After a quick fuck, they take a limousine to dinner with the teammates and a bunch of puck bunnies. When they go to leave the restaurant, they are swarmed by paparazzi, and one of them even calls out Monroe's name. Now she's terrified about what they'll dig up about her past. Once they're back at the hotel, Monroe has a little mentee bee, and he tells her that it's just a photo, and if it gets the word out about them being together, he's fine with it. But she's not okay with it, and she tells him that not everyone needs to know, so maybe they should keep this quiet for a little bit. He throws her on the bed and strips out of his clothes.
I'm going to make something very clear right now, Monroe. Teach you something you won't forget. You are mine. He ripped off my clothes, aggressively attacking my breasts, biting and sucking on my nipples until I was crying out. My moans filling the room. These are mine. Your pussy is mine. Your lips are mine.
You don't belong to yourself anymore.
No.
No.
He starts eating her out and tells her to say that she's his. She says that she doesn't belong to anyone. So he stops, grabs his belt, ties her wrists to the headboard with it, and tells her to say it or they'll stay like this until she does. It takes about a minute of him teasing her before she ends up saying it. He slams into her and tells her that he loves her over and over and over again until they both come, and she still has not said it back. So this whole time he's been saying, I love you, she does not say it.
Oh, wow.
The next day is the big game against Boston. He's scoring goals left and right, and after each one, he skates up to the glass where Monroe sits and makes a heart with his hands. They win, and at the post-game conference, he gets to follow through with his plan. As he steps up to a microphone, he shows off his custom jersey. He's wearing Monroe's last name. So stupid.
Oh my God, that's kind of silly. He is very into this girl.
Down bad. He's down bad.
I don't know if that would give me the ick or not. I don't know. I can't say.
Just wait. He will give you the ick.
Yeah. The next day, she has officially come to terms with her fate of being in the spotlight with Lincoln. She gets a text from Ari asking if Lincoln is okay since it's Tyler's birthday today. And now she panics, wondering if Lincoln was off today. He gets off the elevator to their suite and she immediately asks about his well-being and if he wants to talk. He tells her about him and happy memories with Tyler, and then she talks about her mom. Then they get ready to go to dinner at his parents' house. The dinner is awkward and weird, and at one point, Lincoln's dad says after the Stanley Cup, Lincoln is going to take over his father's company, which is news to Lincoln. His parents continue to belittle Lincoln and subtly hint to wishing it was him instead of Tyler, and Monroe snaps, calling them awful humans and parents. Lincoln grabs her hand, and they leave knowing it's the last time they'll go into that mansion. A couple days pass. Monroe is making their bed when an unknown text comes through with the video of Lincoln paying off her landlord to evict her. Then another video of Lincoln threatening Kevin to fire her. Then another video of Lincoln on the phone with the catering company, making sure she never gets a job there again. And one of the last videos to come through is of Lincoln calling every job she's applied for since and making sure they knew not to call her back.
Oh, that's fucked up.
She feels betrayed and disgusted by how he played her so perfectly. She starts packing her backpack when he comes home, asking her where she's going. She tries to make up an excuse about school, but he asks if it has anything to do with the videos that she just received on her phone. She freezes and debates if she should try to run. He lets her know that he monitors her phone, and he monitors everything she does. Then she feels a prick in her neck and everything goes black.
At this point, I thought this was going to be like a thriller from this point forward. I was like, there's no way.
So Lincoln just did that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
She found out that he sabotaged her life. And when he knew that she knew and she was going to leave, he drugged her. He injected her.
Yeah, what the fuck?
As Lincoln watches her sleep, he knows if she left, he would have been able to find her. Her birth control implant is also a tracker, but he can't take extra chances.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
She's now chained to the bed, and he knows it was his father who sent those videos, so he needs to take care of that issue. Monroe wakes up and sees Lincoln. She asks why he would do this, and he says it's because how much he loves her and wants to keep her safe. Then she sees that she is chained to their bed.
Oh my God.
Later on, he casually drops the fact that he added her name to the title of the house, and then he lets her get ready for bed before they fall asleep together. So she full on lets him come into bed and go night-night.
Jeez, crazy.
She wakes up later to him eating her out, and she doesn't put up much of a fight before she has 3 orgasms and wonders if she's just as sick in the head as he is. She's fully visited Stockholm, has the full syndrome, doesn't care.
Good grief.
She's like, yes, he really likes me.
She's at the apartment watching his team win the last game to the Stanley Cup Finals. She obviously didn't go, but her ankle chain is adjusted so she can go to the living room. When he gets home, he approaches her and unlocks her. He isn't letting her go, but he is moving forward with their relationship because he will do anything to keep her there, which he's proven over and over again. He kisses her and she knows he's right and she doesn't want to be without him. Then he strips her clothing off and he lays her on the couch so he can fuck her.
Lincoln, I moan, trying to take all of his brutally thick dick. My body resisted at first. He was so big that a week without him was a long time, and I whimpered in protest. He grabbed my hips, yanking me closer and locking eyes with me as he drove his thick shaft deeper into my throbbing pussy. My God.
She is Stockholm syndromed.
It took her like 1 week of being chained up and she's like, okay, I love you back.
Yeah. She finally tells him she loves him as he fucks her hard and fast.
Lincoln lifted me higher and his hands slid further down, fingers pressing slightly against my rosebud while he hammered in and out of me. Come on, dream girl. Give me one more. Take me to heaven. He's a freak.
They both need to be institutionalized.
Yeah. They both come and she tells him that she loves him again. She's at his final game. It's neck and neck and it doesn't look good. But all he needs to win is to look into the crowd at Monroe. Then Ari sends him the puck and in slow motion, it goes straight to the net. They've won, and after a moment with his teammates, he pushes through to the box and Monroe's down in his arms and crying happy tears for him. When everyone's gone, he fucks her on the visitor's bench because why not?
Yeah.
It's a couple days later, he visits his father's office, interrupting his meeting. He sends an email to dad letting him know that he now owns 51% of his father's company. He lets his father know that he will sell his company piece by piece until it's ran into the ground. When his dad tries to argue, saying he won't get away with this, he also sends his dad all the little videos he's been collecting over the years. Videos of bribing public officials, him with prostitutes, doing drugs, you name it, Lincoln has a video. But he's willing to make a deal. His dad moves the company to the New York office, pretends he doesn't have a son, and if anything happens to himself or Monroe, the videos are set to be released to certain agencies at specific dates and times. He also has his shares of the company set up to sell to his competitor too. His dad hops on the phone, demanding that everything be moved to the New York office tomorrow. When he hangs up the phone, Lincoln tells him that he should have known he was going to make him pay for what he did to Monroe, and then he leaves. Monroe is in the park eating sandwiches with Bill when Lincoln arrives and ruins it. He's down on one knee proposing to her while she cries and says yes. They get married that same night at the courthouse. In the epilogue, she got accepted at a university right after they got married. She's going to major in English and they have crazy hot sex daily. Then one day, they learn that Ari is getting transferred to an LA team. The end.
Well, damn.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I'd give it 3.5.
Okay.
That's good. I was entertained. Well, what did you guys think of it?
I gave it a 3. It was entertaining.
I gave it a 2.75. Because what do you mean he chained you up in a bed after he injected you with a sedative and it took you a week to accept that and go back into a relationship with him? I was fully convinced this was going to turn into a thriller in the last 10%. But no, it was still a romance.
Yeah. Wow. That is a bit crazy, girl.
And on our next episode, we are telling Riley all about The Never Queen by Nikki St. Croix, which is the last book in the Vicious Lost Boy series. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
That's crazy.
And if you don't remember, Tinkerbell is dead. Peter Pan lost his shadow. And now he's like anchored to Winnie. and Winnie and Vane still share a shadow. And then the cliffhanger was Winnie finding out that her mom went missing in the mortal realm. So now they all have to go to the mortal realm to save her mom.
Okay. I think when they get to the mortal realm, they're going to get attacked, obviously, because nobody, I feel like, likes anybody in any of these books. Everyone's fighting. Nobody gets along. I don't know what's going to happen.
She's going to get fucked for sure.
They're going to fuck 100%.
Lots of feral fucking.
But like, I genuinely can't wrap my head around the idea of what more is to come. I do think Winnie will become some type of powerful being there.
The Never Queen, perhaps?
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
Next episode.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to hear the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I do blind reactions to Reddit erotica every Tuesday.
Yeah, do it.
Please check us out on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.